Get ready. Ryan gently pulled the bolt on the submachine gun until it loudly clicked. Once we start, there's no going back. Just then, a group of armed SecMen walked into view, the man in front pulling up his pants by the suspenders. At point-blank range, Ryan shot him in the face, brains and bone fragments spraying onto the guards behind him. On the left side, Doc lunged forward with his sword, stabbing one in the heart, and Jack threw a knife into the throat of the other. Sighing into death, the falling bodies were caught and dragged out of the way. Weapons at the ready, the companions moved deeper into the quiet of the enemy barracks as the clock in the Ville bell tower loudly began to chime the arrival of dawn. 10 more SecMen died quietly as the companions moved like ghosts through the sleepy barracks. Another locked door blocked the main corridor, and JB easily got them through in record time. Now a hallway dimly lit by oil lanterns stretched ahead of them, multiple doors on each side. The first two opened into large rooms lined with empty bunk beds, and the faint stink of stale sweat and cigarette smoke permeated the air.
That's 40. Should be 20 more here asleep and 20 on patrol duty.
Should be, but then how many more in the east wing?
Probably the same. Ryan watched for movement in the shadows, if not more. Another door proved to be the linen closet. The next was to the lav. Oddly, faint light seemed to be coming from the bottom of the pit, visible through the hole in the wooden seat.
So you don't miss in the dark?
Ryan scowled, but said nothing. The last door opened to another bunk room, but this one was full of snoring men, boots on the floor, blasters hanging off the end of bedpost newels. Assuming a marksman stance, Ryan leveled his silenced blaster to give them cover fire, while Dean and Doc moved quietly among the sleepers, gathering their long blasters. One man started to awaken, and Dean clubbed him unconscious with the butt of his pistol, the sharp blow delivered expertly to the temple. The sec man snorted and went limp on the mattress. Exiting the room, JB placed an armed claymore mine on the floor and closed the door, locking it with a twist of the key.
That's my only mine. It better chill most of them, or we're in for a hell of a fight.
JB backed away from the room. Reaching the end of the hallway, Ryan knocked softly on the door. A voice mumbled a question, and he muttered something unintelligible. After a few moments, the door swung open, exposing a sec man with a greasy napkin tied around his neck and a plate of food in his hands. The sergeant froze motionless as the business end of the Sig Sauer was pressed against his throat. Silently, he walked backward into the office, and Christie closed the door.
Master keys!
With some difficulty, the sergeant swallowed the food in his mouth before speaking.
Top drawer of the desk, left side behind a blaster.
JB walked across the room and searched for traps before checking the drawer. Mildred kept watch while Doc and Jack moved to a blaster rack filled with long blasters and started to dig into the breeches with knives, snapping off the firing pins.
Well?
Got them.
JB examined the ring of keys.
Seems legit.
When Doc and Jack were finished, Ryan jabbed the blue shirt with his blaster, the sharp muzzle cutting his pudgy skin.
Where's Tabitha Cotter?
Cellar. She's in the cellar, but honestly, I had nothing to do with...
In a rush of anger, Ryan buried his left fist into the fat man's stomach. The guard doubled over, vomiting, and the one-eyed man clubbed him to the floor. Blood welled from the gash on his head, but the sec man was still wheezing for air as they departed.
Cellar?
Ryan gestured.
Should be this way.
Turning a corner, they found a sec man sleeping in a chair, his long blaster laid across his lap.
Hey!
The man awoke with a start and stared in astonishment at the invaders. With a curse, he pawed for his weapon and died in the chair, a soft chug from the Sig Sauer knocking him from the chair. As JB undid the cumbersome lock, the companions noticed a faint, unpleasant stench reminiscent of a sewer. As the door opened, the pungent reek of night soil filled the air, the smell thick enough to cling to the tongue and bring tears to their eyes. Oil lanterns hanging from nails illuminated a short flight of stairs leading to the water-stained floor one flight below. Holding their noses and breathing shallowly, the companions proceeded down the rickety stairs into the dank basement. Immediately they could see dozens of prisoners manacled to the walls. The men were skeleton thin, little more than skin covering bones, their clothes rotting rags. Not one lifted his head to look at the approach of the companions. Keeping a grip on the banister, Ryan still almost slipped when he stepped onto the floor, realizing almost too late that the water wasn't a thin puddle, but more than a foot deep. Worse, the floating solids in the liquid clearly showed it had been used as a makeshift toilet by the poor souls chained to the dirty walls. Then he recalled the light from underneath the guard's lav and realized they had done the same.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Mildred crossed herself. Ignoring the filth in the water, Ryan stepped into the raw sewage, the material almost cresting the top of his army boots.
Free them!
A red madness began to fill his mind, and this time he did nothing to stay his temper. This was beyond even the initiation of the Cannies. They starved prisoners to make them recruits. This was done purely for sadism. Another item to settle in blood with Overton.
JP, open the chains. Doc, Jack, get them upstairs. Christy, look for Tabitha.
Slinging his weapon, JB sloshed across the hard water, and fumbling with the keys, unlocked the first person on the wall. He stopped for a moment, thinking the sec man was dead, but then the eyelids fluttered, and the head weakly lifted.
Fuck you. Long live Nathan Cotter.
The manacles came free with a snap, and JB gently pushed the stick figure toward the stairs.
Get going.
The armorer knew there was no time to explain. Just give orders and make them move. Food and sanity would come later. Quickly, JB moved to the next living man and unlocked the manacles, then the next, and the next. There were almost as many dead as there were alive. Trembling with the effort, the first freed prisoner splashed toward the stairs. Doc assisted the man up the steps, while Dean kept watch in the hallway above.
Fire blast. I know these men.
Ryan's hands were knuckle-white on his blaster as he watched them go by.
He was the leader of the Vils Sekhmen. This man was the best hunter we had. The dead one, the gatekeeper.
Mildred guided another to the stairs.
Loyalist. Captured men who stayed true to Nathan and wouldn't bend to the new Baron.
And this was their reward.
JB freed another. The prisoner stumbled and started to fall, but Jack caught the man in his arms and carried him upstairs as if he weighed nothing.
We can't set these men loose as a diversion.
Mildred helped a sixth man get free from the shackles.
They go with Tabitha in the wag. Screw the plan. We'll find another way to distract the blues.
One of the sec men going for the stairs fell to his knees into the slimy water. Then he suddenly plunged his head into the disgusting liquid and began to slurp greedily. He raised his dripping face into the air, only to catch a breath.
Water. Sweet water.
The rest weakly took up the cry. In that instant, Ryan fervently wished that the sleeping blue shirts upstairs would awaken and give him something tangible to beat to death with his bare hands. He had seen many horrors in his life surviving Deathlands, but rarely was his heart touched with pity. His red fury changed in that moment into an icy determination, and Ryan silently vowed that Overton would die at any cost, even his own life. Sliding an arm under the drinker, JB hauled the man to the stairs and pushed him toward the light.
The Baron commands you to go and obey the boy upstairs.
Yes, my lord.
The former officer wept, and he began to crawl up the stairs as if the effort of walking were completely beyond the limits of his physical strength. A sharp whistle from Christy cut the terrible moment, and Ryan thankfully sloshed forward through the quagmire. In the rear, an open doorway led to another room a step up from the sewage, the concrete floor dry and only stained from boots coming out of the muck. Mildred was close behind. The cinderblock walls were green with mildew, the air worse than a freshly opened grave. The sharp tang of the mold almost masked the reek coming from the other area. Several empty tables leaned upright against a wall, the leather straps and dark stains showing their purpose and frequent usage. A surgical cabinet stood nearby, and Mildred marveled at the glistening array of scalpels, forceps, and hemostats. She tried the handle, but it was locked tight. Smashing the glass with the barrel of her weapon, Mildred began to stuff the instruments into her medical kit, uncaring of the sharp glass that ringed the opening. Heavy curtains closed off one end of the room. Pushing them aside, Ryan found Christy holding the hand of a pregnant woman strapped to another slanted table. She was naked, her huge, distended belly covered with bruises, one eye swollen shut, her nose clearly broken.
not again, no more. Please, my baby. You'll hurt the baby.
And the woman desperately clenched her legs together.